Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their clients the best insurance, the best price, and customer service means everything to them. Something ever happens, they will go to work as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Nate Bauer in a few moments. We'll talk with him about the Nittany Lions game on Saturday from Blue White Illustrated. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Third down and six, their own 31. Myers back. Myers delivers near side. Picked off Reed. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. John Reed takes it to the house. And the Nittany Lions retake the lead.
Play that turned it all around on Saturday night at Beaver Stadium before better than 104,000 as the Nittany Lions beat Buffalo. The final was 45-13. With that, we now go to the 10th fairway where Nate Bauer is standing by ready to take our call. Hello, Nate.
Steve, I scheduled my golf around this call, okay? I'm sitting at home. I'm waiting patiently for my 250 tee time. All right.
This is the saddest thing I've ever heard. I don't even schedule my golf around this show.
No.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I forgot. I'm supposed to. Wait a minute. All right, Nate. Obviously, you put in Thomas's breakdown, the video breakdown on your site and through your column. So what did you think about Saturday night?
So it's interesting, but doing the those little video breakdowns and trying to put some clips together, I ended up doing just about every play on Saturday night.
Okay.
And so Thomas and I were talking about it. You know, when you do that, the actual action of a football game boils down to about 5 minutes total, maybe, if that. And so last night, I was kind of answering some questions on our message board. You know, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but everybody is disgruntled with Penn State's offensive line. Here we go again. The offensive line. And I thought to myself, now granted, I was very bored in the first half, and so I don't know if I was paying attention or not, but it didn't really occur to me at the time that the offensive line was really having any problems. I was like, I don't know where this is coming from. So I went back, and I watched the first half last night. They only had 20 plays.
Right.
They wasn't on the field. The offense wasn't on the field.
Right.
The second team offensive line, the one series, Des Holmes had a couple problems. They had the third and 17, I think, where there was a holding call on Menet Fries. There were a couple of plays that the offensive line, it wasn't great, but certainly it was not the catastrophe I think that it's being made out to be. And so what I saw was an offense that just wasn't on the field. Partly because it found itself in a couple of third and longs, but also partly because the defense couldn't get off the field in the first half. And so what you had was really a game where it wasn't about any one particular unit on offense struggling. It was really just Buffalo had the ball the whole game. I mean, that it, you know, the time of possession was 17 minutes and 28 seconds. I think Penn State's stats said that that was the lowest time of possession since 1993, and obviously probably earlier than that. So, you know, it's a little bit of overreacting, I think, from the fan base.
In that, I pointed out earlier, Buffalo had the ball nearly 43 minutes. And in the 43 minutes they had the ball, they outscored Penn State 13-7.
Yeah.
All right. Penn State had the ball 17 minutes and whatever. They outscored Buffalo 38-0.
Yeah.
I'm sure the consternation you're getting, I'm just going to guess, okay, no offense, I don't really read it, is that Penn State didn't run the ball well enough. Is that it?
Yeah, a little bit of that. A little bit of that. I think, you know, certainly some frustration on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, I mean, look, I always give credit where credit is due. And, you know, for as many things as James Franklin might not be forthcoming about, particularly injuries, he always tells it like it is after a game. And when he said, hey, you know, Buffalo was determined to stop the run, and they did. I mean, I'm not really sure what else there is to say. It's a game of numbers and right. leverage, and when they've got eight and you've got five, that's going to stop the run.
Right.
You know, so Penn State went away from it, and lo and behold, passing the ball downfield produced a boatload of points. I mean, it's you know, it's not always as complicated as we like to make it be.
Hmm. Interesting ending there.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're listening to this show. It's not as complicated as it's always made out to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the progression of Sean Clifford. It's a game one to game two. So what did you see from game one to game two about where he is settling in well right now?
I think he extends a play better than I anticipated. There was some pressure on Saturday night. I thought the pass blocking was good enough, and in some cases, very good, actually. But he can elude, can escape the pocket. He rolls. I didn't think that he always saw or found his man. I think that there were a couple of guys who, he probably wishes he could, runs that he made that he probably could have thrown the ball. But other than that, I mean, I think that he is showing signs of having what it takes. I mean, it's terrible because he hates the comparison. Anybody would. But a lot of this season, the first two games, reminds me a lot of the first two games of the 2016 season. There are Trace McSorley elements there of a guy just starting to, kind of find his groove and start to play within the context of that offense and go from there. And I think that, good things are ahead for this kid.
All right. When you look at how Hamler played, Dotson played, and Freiermuth in particular, now, what are you seeing in the options that he now has at wide receiver, and how difficult are those options when they're all clicking to defend?
There are a bunch of weapons. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I mean, I think that if I'm Penn State today, or obviously on Saturday night or Sunday, they should feel emboldened by this idea that they have the ability to overcome a defense who is determined to take one aspect of the game completely away.
Right.
And I think that they're going to see a lot of that this season, honestly. I mean, make 14 beat you, right? I mean, that's, that, especially after the first game with Idaho, that Penn State's running backs have the ability, that Penn State's offensive line has the ability to run the ball. okay, you got a new quarterback, you know, and some receivers who are largely unproven. You know, make those guys beat you. I didn't think Hamler. I don't know about you. You can contradict this if you will.
Just assume it. No, just go. Go ahead.
I didn't think Hamler had a great night on Saturday. Drops or not. I mean, the third down drop wasn't great, but just in general, I didn't think he had a great night. But yeah, I mean, that's why. You know, that's why you have Dotson, right? I mean, that's why you got Shorter. That's why, you know, Freiermuth is doing a lot of things that, to me, suggest, I mean, the sky, it really is the limit for this kid. I haven't seen, you know, the Thomas and I were talking earlier, that the catch on fourth down was a remarkable catch. That was a great catch. And you kind of lose it with, you know, he runs 30 yards for the touchdown, and so that's what's compelling. But for him to reel that in the first place was a great, great catch. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this is an offense that has options, and teams are going to have to decide, you know, how they want to be beaten.
Yeah, we did term it a great catch on the broadcast, but then I thought the blocking down the sideline was really good.
It's great,
you know, and that makes. Again, you have to have wide receivers committed to doing something like that. The big plays in the running game or a big play in the pass game, you know, that's not a direct shot, happen because guys are committed to blocking.
Yep, and some of the early screen passes that Thomas so nicely pointed out, they had three screen passes in the first nine plays that went for nothing. And I think a couple of those could be pointed at the receivers not blocking as well as they needed to. But the downfield stuff has been, I think it's been pretty good all season. So that'll definitely be another interesting component to watch as to, you know, it just everything opens up when you've got everybody, you know, kind of on board and committed to those philosophies. They're underappreciated in the game, but they go a long way to making some big plays like that happen.
Okay, so now let's get to this weekend's game with Pitt coming up. What are your general thoughts, at least going into this one? You probably haven't been able to delve too deeply into Pitt yet, you know, but you've certainly done some. What's your general impression?
Yeah, like you said, I don't have a great read on Pitt. Obviously they lost the opener and they won last week.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be the first half of last year's game repeat or the second half of last year's game repeat? My inclination is to think more along the lines of a tougher game than that was last year. I mean, Penn State did that to a couple of teams there in the first four games of the season where they just unloaded in the second half.
Right.
After what we saw on Saturday, I don't know. You know, I don't know if maybe that's going to start to become the MO of this team again. I mean, Penn State, honestly, even back to 16, right? That was kind of how they consistently explode in the second half. We'll see if Pitt can put up a better challenge. And you know, I suspect that just based on everything that goes into this game and the way that they approach it at Pitt, it should be tighter than the last time around.
Well, as I've said, I think the schedule builds every week. But I think, you know, there's no doubt in my mind Pitt's better than Buffalo. So then you go the next step. All right.
Yep.
All right. Get the clubs ready. The Inquisition is over. Now you can go over and you can just start splitting fairways.
You know, the fairways aren't the problem, Steve. I'm burning edges, as they like to say.
Putting.
I'm so close, but you got to get them to fall for it to count, unfortunately. So we'll see how it goes.
Because if some of them start to fall, I would think the next thing is not going to cover a college game. It's Q school.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, you're always looking out for me, Steve, and I appreciate that.
I mean, by the way, you know, if a ball goes into a trap, just watch the Matt Kuchar video of 40 seconds of him removing impediments around the ball. Like,
okay.
What are you doing here?
I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a Kuch guy.
This has been a bad year for him.
It has not been a good look.
And to his credit, he keeps making it worse.
Yeah, you know, good for him. You know, all he had to do was just kind of go away for a little bit. But instead he wins and makes it look, I don't know, it's just obnoxious. I don't like it, Steve. I don't know why I don't like it. I don't like it.
Absolutely. I'm with you. We'll see you a little later in the week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That is Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. We'll come back. Final half hour will include Dave Cecchini, the head football coach at Bucknell, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You can win tickets to the Penn State-Michigan game. Sun Habitat for Humanity is raffling off tickets to the October 19th game at Beaver Stadium. Two tickets for great seats, a parking pass, and a $100 Visa gift card can be yours. Raffle tickets are just $30 each or $25 each for a four-pack or more. Visit sunhabitat.org. That's sunhabitat.org. And join Sun Habitat for an event drawing on September 12th at East Snyder Park, Selins Grove, with the Penn State and Buccaneers player Alan Zamaitis. Need not be present to win. The Penn State versus Michigan Game Raffle, presented by Sun Habitat for Humanity. All proceeds stay local to benefit local families. Sunhabitat.org or email Sandy at sunhabitat.org. That's sunhabitat.org, or you can send an email to Sandy at sunhabitat.org.
Dave Cecchini in the final half hour. So Penn State wins the game on Saturday. Now again, you're trying to clean up as much as you can clean up. I mean, that's the important part. You are trying to clean up as much as you can clean up before you get to your next game. And I think that was valuable tape for James Franklin and his staff. But he made a couple of interesting points in the post game, and Sean did play the post game in the open. You see the coverage of John Reed, who also, when they go nickel, flips inside, a lot like Jason Pinnock does for Pitt. And you say, okay, this guy plays the slot so well. Well, he does. All right, it's great. And then there's the next part. He's sitting there going, okay. But he also is a guy that plays corner great. So are you getting enough out of your third corner right now to justify flipping him inside? And that's going to be a big decision for them to make. Do you
do what they did later in the game, which was play John at corner, Tariq Castro Fields at corner, and then use Lamont Wade as the nickel and bring Jaquan Brisker in as the safety? Or do you maybe, and we'll throw this out as a possibility, turn your attention to a guy like Donovan Johnson, who played the spot last year? Now, James didn't bring that up. I'm just throwing out scenarios here. And the other part he brought up was, and I'd asked him about adjustments. When they were leaving the field at halftime, I said, look, this is a coaching staff that's been through all this before. They've been able to make adjustments over the years, and they've come out successful many, many times in the second half. Okay. But the interesting part when I brought it up to him the post game, he said, yeah, he says, that was no problem. Sitting down with time and saying, look, this is what you need to do to change what's going on out there. He said, the problem with young players, though, is that when they're going through it the first time, you are making the adjustments in the game. He said, but it's amazing that when you sit them down, it seems they seem to have an ability to absorb it better. I mean, we've had the same guy with the same problem with our guy running the staff meeting. I mean, we all know that he can't adjust on the fly to save his soul. Stop rolling your eyes, Sean.
Another long one this morning. Over an hour.
An hour?
I know.
Talking about what?
Just a little, well, nailing down a lot of details. It was another very productive meeting. Just wish they would go faster, but we tried to get a lot accomplished, and sometimes it moves pretty slow.
So you got a lot done. So instead of wasting 45 minutes, you only wasted 40?
I wish it would have only lasted 40 minutes, but we got a lot done.
You keep saying that. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. They find you exactly the insurance you need. Auto, home, life, business, bundle, whatever it may be. And they get you the best price.
And if there's ever a claim, nobody goes to work for you the way Purdy Insurance does. Customer service means everything to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined now by the head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cicchini, with the game with Villanova coming up on Saturday night at 6 on Hero Appreciation Day. Fireworks after the game, sponsored by Eagle 107, Sunbury Broadcasting, Wise Markets, and also Silvertip. Dave, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
All right. How would you describe right now the reality of your margin of error going into games?
Not very high right now. I'd say it's we've been playing a really, really challenging non-conference schedule. Villanova is going to be no different. They're very, very talented, and you know, we're young and we're a little banged up, and we're not very deep. So you know, we really got to do a whole lot of things right to give ourselves a chance for victory each week.
So now let's take the next step. Mentally, now as a coaching staff, you know what you need to do. But mentally, knowing that you have to play that way, how taxing can that be for the players?
Well, you try not to put too much pressure on them. It's the pressure's on the coaches. You know, it's our job to put them in the chance where they have the greatest chance of success, rather. You know, so looking for those opportunities, looking for those matchups. For the players, you know, you tell them not to worry about that stuff. You just go out there and play disciplined football, but you know, get after it, play hard, be tough, be physical, do all those things, and you know, you let the chips fall where they may, and you leave it up to the coaches to, you know, worry about the play calls and you know, what we're doing on offense, defense, and special teams.
You know, it's not as if you haven't moved the ball. You've been into the red zone 6 times this year.
Yeah.
How tough, though, has it been when the field is shortened up for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been crazy. You know, with the way our special teams have been playing and our defense has been playing, it's put us into some interesting situations. And every time that we've been down to the red zone, it's been on a really long drive, you know, 80 yards, 70 yards, 60 yards. And for us, with the exception of a couple of big gainers, a lot of these drives, we hit the red zone, and it's about our 8th or 9th or 10th play of the drive. And I think a big part about it for us, Steve, is that I think we've got some players that just are a little gassed when we get down there. We've got a great drive going. We're not deep enough to keep shuttling players in and out. And when you're 10 and or 11 or your third and goal from the 9 is your 12th or 13th play of that drive, our guys just have been coming up short and just haven't been able to make the plays that we need. So hopefully some of that will come by experience. Hopefully some of that will be our players are still, you know, in the process of getting into the best shape. You know, the temperatures are dropping on Saturdays, and hopefully we'll be able to rectify that, especially here in time for a really good Villanova team.
Yeah, no question about that. But again, you mentioned it's the numbers part of it, because if you have the numbers, you know, that you have confidence and trust and so forth, you can then substitute liberally, correct?
Exactly. You know, you look at last Saturday's game against Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart dressed 125 players for the game.
Yeah.
We dressed 66. So there's just a gigantic number disparity. And that's the reality of Patriot League football right now. It's not just us here at Bucknell, but it's at just about every school that's in the Patriot League. Our numbers are down. We've been capped at 90, and we're nowhere near that right now. And when you take some injuries into effect, you know, that's, you just don't have that depth. You don't have that ability to go to a fourth string or even a third string guy at some position, because they don't exist. You don't have one.
So where's your quarterback situation right now, Dave?
Well, definitely in flux. We started Week one, started Logan Bidikoffer, but we played three quarterbacks in the game. Last week against Sacred Heart, Sharon Earl started and did a decent job. Then he got a little bit banged up and didn't finish the game. So, you know, we're really in that process of playing three, you know, along with John Sherlonzio. You know, those are our three players, our quarterbacks. They've all played a solid amount in the first two games, and I would expect that probably to continue here through at least the Villanova game. Just trying to get our players as much exposure before we get to the league conference, try to really get a quarterback out there who can prove to be that consistent leader, the guy who can move us down the field with the most consistency and the fewest amount of turnovers. And the jury's still out right now. You know, it's really tough when you play a team as talented as Temple and your opener to be able to walk away saying, gosh, you know, this is the quarterbacks we could have done this. We had a hard time just protecting against a four-man rush. So you're kind of handicapping, you know, each of their performances based off of, you know, who they're going up against. But, you know, hopefully one or even more of these three guys can really mature here in the next week or two and, you know, help us become a much more experienced and reliable offense, you know, when we hit Patriot League play here in another 3 weeks.
Well, it's okay. My high school coach from decades ago would always tell us, look, you're not exactly playing the Little Sisters of the Poor. Your schedule has been really good to this point. I mean, that does factor into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a double-edged sword. You know, you love that competition. Our players had an incredible experience at Temple playing in Lincoln Financial Field, playing against very talented, a lot of future NFL players on Temple's team. And, you know, it is a difficult game to win, but, you know, if you can make through it, you know, get through it healthy enough, your players have seen, you know, we're not going to see a team as athletic as and as talented as Villanova is going to be on Saturday. Our players know they've seen better. They've been, you know, in Lincoln Financial playing against a team that's even bigger, stronger, and faster all around, you know, at Temple than Villanova is. So it does allow your team to gain a little bit of confidence, and they get better when you're playing good competition as opposed to going out there. You know, you see a lot of teams, especially early on in the football season, playing the Little Sisters of the Poor and getting, you know, 50, 60-point, you know, wins. And that's not really helping them, you know, become the best football team they can be. So as long as we can make it through these games, as long as we can stay as injury-free as we possibly can, this really is going to prepare us for you know, when you get to the meat and potatoes of our schedule and you know, we're playing, you know, Patriot League schools week in and week out.
Dave, how have you felt about the play of Brandon Sanders and Dominic Lyle so far?
Yeah, I tell you what, they're two great, great football players. We got to get them the football more, and they are guys that can create mismatches, especially when you can have two good, reliable playmakers at wide receiver, and you got one on one side of the field and one on the other. It really does put a defense in the bind. You know, they can stop the run and sometimes double team one receiver, but it's really hard to get numbers in the box to stop the run on a consistent basis and still take away two wide receivers out of the game plan. So those guys are critical for our success here. We've got to protect our quarterback a little bit better, you know, up front with our offensive line, and I think we're headed there. We're getting better. We're just young. And then, like I said earlier, we're just looking for more consistent play out of our quarterbacks as well. But once we get that going, that's really the key to success of our offense, because now, you know, it's a pick-your-poison thing for the defense. They can't double-team both of those talented wide receivers and still be able to stop the run.
Yeah, the chess game can be so important. What has Alex Peachin meant to giving you the best chance in the chess game?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. I mean, so many people don't understand the hidden yardage of special teams. And I'll give you a great example. The very first drive of the season against Temple, we take the field, and we have a freshman center who is nervous. Second play of the game, gives us a bad snap over the head of our quarterback. We wind up having to punt from our 14-yard line, first drive of the season, and Alex goes out there and hits a 65-yard punt, and the returner tries to go east and west, and we pull them down, and they get the ball on their 20-yard line. You talk about an unbelievable, you know, most teams are expecting if they've stopped us, you know, inside our own 15-yard line, they're expecting the ball at midfield. And to be able to come out there and have to go 80 yards for a touchdown instead of 50 yards, you know, the percentages, the analytics are there. It's just it's so much harder to go 80 yards versus 50 yards. And that's really what Peach has done for us. He's such a consistent kicker who kicks with distance but also with height, so he doesn't out-kick the coverage. And that's forced almost every single one of the scoring drives against our defense has had to been, you know, from 70, 75, 80 yards or greater because of him.
And that gets us to Villanova. They're off to a 2-0 start. They've already won at Colgate, and they've already beaten Lehigh at home. You've looked at the video, Dave. What makes them a quality team across the board?
Yeah, well, gosh, there's so few weak spots. You know, most teams you can put on the film and say, hey, here's the guy we can pick on in terms of he's a weak cover guy, or here's the weak offensive lineman. He's not good versus movement. We can get twists and get around him. It's tough to put on the film and see the consistency that they have position by position. Where there's really no weak link to the armor. They've got some really, really good football players and some marquee players at different positions, but even the guys that aren't their standout players, they're really, really good football players. There's really not a single weakness on offense or defense you can point to and say, yeah, these guys are good, but they can't do this, because it really doesn't exist. They can hurt you a bunch of different ways on offense. They're multiple. They get back. You know, they get after the quarterback on defense, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
Yeah, and they also make you beat them because they're what, plus three giveaway takeaway. That's because they haven't given it up yet this year.
They don't
give you a chance to breathe.
Yeah, and you know the turnovers that they're creating on defense are going for points. They've scored a touchdown off of an interception in each of their first two victories, and so yeah, it's. It's a talented group. I mean, I think I'm not sure if I haven't seen the latest poll. I think they were 24th in the country last week. Wouldn't surprise me if they're up around 20 or 21. But it's a talented team. I think a lot of teams, a lot of people underestimated them because they didn't realize the quarterback that they have, the fifth-year senior transfer. He's a really good player, and he's experienced, and he's a dual threat. And I think that's what a lot of people counted on Villanova being a little bit down, because they didn't believe they had a good quarterback. Well, they've got a great quarterback, and I think people are starting to figure it out.
Best of luck on Saturday. You're at home. It's going to be a big night with fireworks after the game on Hero Appreciation Night, sponsored by Eagle 107, Sunbury Broadcasting, Wise Markets, and Silver Tip. And we thank you so much for your time. Good luck, Dave.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it.
Dave Dracchini, the head football coach at Bucknell. By the way, Jack Hamm's old teammate with the Steelers, Lynn Swann, in the news today. He has resigned as the athletic director at USC. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right, so Lynn Swann has stepped down as the athletic director at USC. I think we know how. I mean, obviously, the what's been in the spotlight has been the Lori Loughlin case, but he has stepped down at USC. And so that's one thing that's happened here. The NFL has talked to Odell Beckham Jr. about wearing a watch during a game. It's also a $250,000 watch. They scored 13 points yesterday. So. You know, it's
at least that was one thing that made Steelers happy. Yes, Steelers fans happy yesterday. Can't think of much else.
And with Nick Foles on IR. They expect him back this year, but he's on IR right now. And they've dealt a fifth-round pick to the Steelers for Josh Dobbs to be the backup quarterback to Gardner Minshew, who actually had a good game yesterday. Minshew was 22 of 25 passing. Let's see. Kent State. A field hockey game was heading to double overtime, came to a screeching halt because of daytime fireworks planned before Kent State's noon game against Kennesaw State. Temple and number 24 Maine were scoreless heading into double overtime when Kent State officials entered the field and informed the coaches that the game was over because the fire marshal said that they were going to have fireworks and they couldn't play. The teams complied, and the NCAA has deemed it a scrimmage. Now, they were aware this was going to happen. Prior to the contest, we were made aware of timing issues regarding the pregame football activities. While we would have greatly appreciated the opportunity to play the final 10 minutes of our contest, the KSU administration made the decision they felt was most appropriate. This reminds me of years ago, Penn State playing in the Metrodome against Minnesota. It was the last weekend of the season. It was a Saturday. And the Indians were playing the Twins. And I went to the baseball game. I'd never seen a baseball game before in the dome. And, the game started, I think, at 11 a.m. or something like that. And the football game, and I was announcing the game that night, was going to be at, 7:30 or 8 or something like that. Well, I also knew they had to convert the field. So when Penn State did a walkthrough the day before in the dome, I asked somebody in the dome staff, how long does it take for you to convert the field? He said, we need at least 4 hours. I guess the game was at 7:30. He said, we need at least 4 hours, so we're going to have to end the baseball game at 2. So I knew. I'm sitting in the stands. And my late friend Patrick Scholl and I went to the game together. We walked over, and I said, Patrick, just be aware. At 2 o'clock, the game's ending no matter what. He goes, ooh, geez. I said, yeah. So we go over there, and it's a really good game between the Indians and the Twins, and it's moving along at a pretty good pace, but it goes to extra innings. Uh-oh. And all of a sudden, 2 o'clock hit. And I said to Patrick, I said, we need to get out of here now. He says, now? I said, now. I said, it was like 1:55. I said, we need to get out of here because these fans are going to be furious the second they find out. So we got out of there, and we're in the concourse, and they made the announcement, and the place was just furious. It'll be finished tomorrow as part of a doubleheader. Like, oh, boy. Yeah. So we've seen that before, just in a different realm. Both the Indians and the Twins, the teams knew about it. They just didn't tell the crowd. Why bother doing that? No need to tell them. They're only ones that paid. The Texans take on the Saints tonight. First game of the doubleheader, nightcap Denver and Oakland. Been a quiet preseason for the Raiders. I'm anxious to watch them. No. And the Phillies play the Braves tonight. 7:05, 6:30 of the air time here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So Odell Beckham Jr. wears a $250,000 watch during the game.
Well, he's got to be somewhere after the gamer. Who knows? Maybe?
I mean, I was talking to the chief about this. I guess the play-by-play guy he works with does the same thing. Wears a $250,000 watch.
Wow.
I just said to Chief, I said, digital media is going a lot better than we ever dreamed.
Man.
Be nice if we saw the benefits of it.
We're waiting.
Maybe you should sell the watch.
Why we get up in the morning. Watch take care of the mortgage and then some, wouldn't it?
Take care of a lot of things. Get you a raise.
Hey there.
I got your back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.